You seek the key, but first you must learn the ways of precision, craft, and performance with Acura's all-electric ZDX. With a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system, up to a 313-mile range, and a Type S variant with an estimated 500 horsepower, the ZDX is their most powerful SUV yet. Unlock the energy when you visit Acura.com to order yours today.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Every single day on my Twitter account, follow me at jaltucher. I'm doing the adult improvement tip of the day. As an adult, I've become a chess master, professional stand-up comedian, a computer programmer, an investor, a hedge fund manager, an entrepreneur. In some cases, I've mastered some of these new fields. It's no good to just do something mindlessly over and over and over again and not get better. You get happier when you improve. New research shows that adults can improve just as easily as kids, or almost as easily. I've written books about adult improvement. I have new ideas that beat out the 10,000 hour rule. And I'm doing a whole thread every single day, one tip a day for the next 100 days, adult improvement tip of the day. Find me on Twitter at jaltucher.
This isn't your average business podcast, and he's not your average host. This is
I Will Make You a Millionaire, another episode helping someone reach their goal of making millions. So Paulo is one of the people in the I Will Make You a Millionaire program, and he also just told me at one point held the Italian national record for the speed at which he solved Rubik's Cube. It was 12 seconds. Is the record still hold, or did someone beat your record?
No, it's being beaten. This was like 10 years ago.
What's the fastest in Italy?
Oh, you know, I don't know now, but it must be under 8 seconds for sure.
Wow. Oh my God. Is that because techniques have improved?
You know, no, I don't think so. I'm not like on it anymore, like following things a lot, but the methods are pretty much the same. So I suppose they're just people have been practicing more and kind of fine tuning the techniques.
Are there trainers for this? Like, so that maybe training has gotten better? Like,
not that I know. Especially, I know that the best people are extremely young, like early teens or, you know, teens. And that's kind of the age I was at as well when I got the record. Maybe it was a bit older, like 17 or something. But, you know, I would do it a lot, right? It's kind of when you're in school that you can spend all of your day in doing this kind of stuff. And it's where you get so much better when you're kind of so focused on only one thing, then you improve. Yeah.
So let's see, you scrambled it while looking the other way. So we know you didn't scramble it.
Yeah. Okay. Let me scramble more, you know, there was no, you know, switch and stuff like that. Yeah. I actually had a friend who was a magician and used to do the blindfolded part as his trick. Uh-huh. And he clearly have a trick.
But when you do it blindfolded, you're legitimately doing it blindfolded.
Yeah, 100%. The thing is that for him, he could do it blindfolded as well. But he always told me, when I'm like performing, I cannot afford to make mistakes.
Yeah.
Right? So he had a trick, basically. But no, regularly, you do things properly. I can actually explain how it works even to do it blindfolded, but okay, I'll do this. Give me like a minute to look.
In competition, you get a minute to look?
No, you get 15 seconds. Yeah, okay. A minute was a few speech. Yeah, okay, I'll just start. I mean.
Wow.
I mean, I'm no longer at my peak, so it's not like I feel too much pressure.
Don't feel any pressure. Solving it at all is incredible. Oh my gosh, that was good. How many seconds was that? Oh, I forgot to record the seconds. It was less than a minute.
I don't know. I guess must have been between, I don't know, 18 seconds, something like that.
So great. did you learn by studying a book, or did you figure out how to solve it? It's hard to figure out.
Yeah, it's hard to figure out. I found some sort of guide, and I kind of went through it and got a little bit of an understanding. And then I started practicing a lot, like a whole lot. And at some point, I realized that, the kind of competitive level in Italy, that if I practiced a little bit more, I could be the best in Italy. And so I went all in.
Wow, that is really cool. Excellent.
Yeah. And it worked out pretty good. Yeah, it's definitely a good party trick.
Yeah. So how are things going now with all this stuff? What have you been thinking about?
Yeah, so I've been doing a bunch more experiments. For the completely automated part, I've followed some of the advice that you gave last time and tried to decrease the number of comments, use it more kind of randomly towards the day, and adding like even larger delays. And it worked fine for like 7 or 8 days, but then I kind of got blocked again.
Wow. When you say kind of, what does that mean?
Yeah, it's a sort of, let's say, minor block, in the sense that it's the kind of block where I'm required to reset my password. But it's not. But once I've done it, I can still use the account like normally. But it just tells me that they're realizing there's something like going on.
So what do you think? I mean, if you were a human doing it, I mean, did you repeat comments?
No.
So you didn't repeat
comments. Comments were not repeated. Yep.
So I wonder what it noticed. I mean, I'm sure it's very good at detecting
stuff. But you know what I'm thinking? I was reading about a little bit of how the whole system of CAPTCHAs, to tell people from computers. And it seems like the current versions are kind of so advanced that basically the part that you're doing is not the test. That's just basically you training some, driverless car. But it's they track the mouse movements all towards your, browsing session.
Ah.
And so they can tell if the mouse is moving, like a human or like a machine. I suppose that could be kind of simulated as well, but...
But if you did it as a mobile app, though, there would be no mouse.
Yeah, that's true. There would be only taps.
So I wonder if you can... Have you tried it, the slower version on a mobile?
I have not. The main thing is that the kind of interface would be completely different. So there's a somewhat... Yeah, it's different to get the system going on a laptop or on a phone. Maybe it could be possible with an Android phone, I suppose. Not with an iPhone.
What's the limitation on the iPhone?
iPhones are much more like locked up. So what you can do, for example, with an Android phone, you could just connect it to your laptop and have the laptop control the phone. You can like simulate taps and stuff like that. So for example, there's like phone games that you have to do, what was it, Flappy Bird or whatever,
where
basically you just need to be very skilled. There's relatively simple ways to just connect them to the phone, to your phone, to your laptop, write some code that automates the taps and does them in an efficient way, and you can like beat all those games. Like, especially if there's some sort of, global leaderboards, that's how it works, right? People will just code it up, have it work perfectly and just beat the game.
That
can be done on Android. So that's like, I think, fairly simple. I've not done it, but I've read a lot about how to do that kind of stuff.
What about creating a simulated Android on the desktop? So you're still using your desktop code, but then you're using the simulated Android to do the outputs, I mean.
Yeah, I'm not sure how that would work.
Okay. Have you looked more into the kind of AI stuff? Are you doing anything with that right now?
Do you mean the generation?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I did a little bit of that. What I tried to do was more into the still the food-related stuff. I tried to train a model to kind of write more reviews, for kind of, okay, restaurant reviews, let's say. So actually last week I said, let's give it a shot and do it for some pictures. So I posted a picture and basically the caption was almost 100% from the code. I had to kind of change a few things, but which also made me think a possible application would be just giving some sort of good writing prompts or kind of a first version of a, let's say, blog post or, review or something like that.
I wonder if this could be used to generate articles about stocks. So, for instance, you could just feed it all the major the headlines of the day, and then you train it with all the headlines and news articles of the day, and then you write, and then the prompt is, stocks went up today because, and you have it finished. Or Microsoft went up today because.
Yeah, I suppose that could be done. Although, okay, since I'd rather not talk much about this since I work in finance, I wouldn't want to have like sort of any conflict of interest.
Yeah, right. But that's interesting. I hope that makes sense. Yeah, there's a lot of advertising on like financial news sites. And so if you're generating thousands of articles, and it would show up on SEO and so on. So it would be interesting. I had this idea the other day that's been sort of given to me over the years, and it's separate from the kind of stuff you're doing, which I think is, but there maybe is a connection. So a lot of people have asked me, A, do I store anywhere my 10 ideas a day? B, do I, I should create an app where anybody can write their 10 ideas a day, and they could either be each list can be either public or private, and people could see other people's idea lists, and even an algorithm could tell you, hey, your ideas are similar to this person's ideas, maybe there's idea sex potential. And so I started thinking, is there potential for a social network of sorts where I log into my account, I write my 10 ideas of the day and title it, then I can see on my feed all the idea lists of the people I follow, like maybe Mark Zuckerberg tracks his ideas, so I want to follow Mark Zuckerberg to see his genius ideas. Or and then I'm also alerted when there's a search function also. So if I want to see all ideas about food recipes, I see all the idea lists, made over a certain time frame about food recipes, or I could search for space or business ideas or whatever. And so all the idea lists that have been made public by members of the network, it searches through those and I could see that. Then maybe there's an AI factor where idea lists are generated, combining idea lists. So there's like an AI generated idea sec. So I can say, okay, here's my idea list. I want to see what other ideas could be generated by combining it with different lists. Or maybe the AI can suggest lists that are related to mine or build upon mine or whatever. And then other people can also see my list and then build upon it, like add more ideas or combine my ideas with other ideas or whatever. So I was thinking this could be an interesting social network because people could, if I make an idea list, I want my friends to see my ideas so I could tag my friends, and then the system sends out an email. Hey, James wants you to see his ideas of the day, or James wants to share his ideas that he wrote about your business or whatever. But in order for people to see it, they have to log on and register for the idea list network. So it has kind of an exponential type of a network effect sort of happening. I was thinking of making this because people have asked me to do this before, and I was just thinking of new ideas with it, like, oh, you could search for ideas and you could see other people's idea lists and you could combine idea lists and whatever. There's all sorts of things you could do. But I was thinking of making this and then seeing if it catches interest. If, because hundreds of people have asked me for something even much less than what I'm describing now. They just wanted a place to keep track of their ideas, but I'm thinking make it into a whole social network. It would be almost like an interesting kind of Facebook as opposed to a trolling kind of Facebook. So what do you think of an idea like that?
Yeah, it's actually pretty interesting. Yeah. I could see it as people definitely want to get inspiration, see what other people think.
Yeah, like all the time people ask me, Like if I store my idea list, people ask me if they could see them. And I'm sure there will be some people who have great ideas that other people want to follow. And we could have leaderboards, like who, you know, which ideas are liked, you know, you could like an idea list. So which idea lists of the day are have been liked the most, and people could have followers who want to see their ideas always. So there could be, you could have message boards on the idea list. So people can make suggestions or comment, like, why did you have this idea? Why did you have that idea? So it could operate very much like a social network. And because I've written about it so much, and people, there's many people who do this exercise, I know because I get all the emails, you know, I know that there's some audience that would be interested in this. So this is unrelated to, of course, anything you're doing, but what do you think of working on an idea on a thing like this? It's probably not very, it's not rocket science to implement. Like what you're doing is borderline rocket science, trying to beat the bot catchers. But what do you think about working on an idea like this? And then I use my platform to market it, and it could potentially be a pretty huge thing.
Yeah, this that sounds like an interesting idea. Yeah. Also, I'm thinking this is a part where this kind of like the kind of generation models that I've been working with would apply very well. Because it's something where you can easily take, let's say, very short idea prompts and train it with, you know, hundreds of thousands, and then get more and more and more out of it.
Oh my God, that's great. Because, like, let's say my idea list is, well, let's say it's cooking recipes. Like, here's 10 different recipes that I've never seen before that I'd be interested in making. So I'm going to make pasta mixed with tuna fish, mixed with soy sauce. And the next one is I'm going to make use a burrito wrapping, but filled with sushi. And so it's all these like quirky, let's say that's my idea list of the day. And then it could use AI to find other interesting possibilities. Like here's what flavors go with tuna. Like it'll know all these things and it'll make suggestions and, or.
Yeah, to kind of expand and augment it.
Yeah.
I would actually feel that, for example, if you had, if you gave me something like a list of, 1,000 of your ideas, I could try to train one of these models to actually just create more and see what it gets.
And let's say I have 10 business ideas. It could sort of flesh out the ideas. Like, let's say I'm going to start a moving company. It could kind of flesh it out. Like, okay, you'll use vans, you'll advertise this way, you'll, you know, or maybe you should do moving and concierge services. So someone's moving from New York to Miami. Not only do you move them, but you could set them up at a gym, find the right doctors for them, look at choices for renting. I don't know. It could kind of flesh out idea lists even more, you know, with training.
That's true. And I kind of
feel
that.
Maybe it could self-train. Like the network itself can self-train as people add. So I want to give people the option to add to the list. So it could learn from that too. How, when it sees thousands of people adding to lists, it'll learn from how people add to lists or combine lists. Do like what I call idea sex. Like you combine two idea lists to have a combination. So like, you know, disco meets rap, and you have the Fugees song "We Are Staying Alive" in 1995, which was based on the song "Staying Alive" from 1978. So you know that's idea sex, but it could take two idea lists and kind of figure out ways to combine them using AI. I wonder if that's possible as well.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Yeah, like the first step would be, I would fully spec out what the network would look like, and you know, any feedback would be welcome. And then I think it probably, the basic network probably is not hard to make. Like it's just a big database of users, idea lists, and you know, a search function, a message board function, and so on. So just, you know, a feed, the ability to follow and like, so it's just like database stuff. It's nothing really difficult in that. And then there's the AI component, which makes it very interesting.
Yeah, sure.
And then I build it up and we sell it and make money.
That definitely sounds like a good idea. Yeah.
So if I spec this out, would you be potentially interested? Like, look at the spec, of course, but then how long do you think it would take you to program like just the basics of something like this?
I'm not sure, in the sense that I've never really built like a website for this kind of stuff.
Yeah, and it would really need just the software. I mean, like, it's essentially, again, just a big database. Like, you keep track of users. For every user, they have a list of idealists. For every user, for every idealist, there's likes, follows, messages, and so on. And then there's a search function. So it's all just like, it strikes me as basic databases, nothing more complicated. And then the design stuff, I could get someone else to do, like actually making it into a website. So like, have you used like Python or databases with like MySQL?
Oh, yeah.
Or?
Python is not a problem. Yeah, Python, SQL, that's not a problem at all.
Yeah, because that's all this is really. And then I guess there's optimizing the databases. Python pretty good at optimizing databases, like if it's a large database.
Yeah, if it's a large database, that may be an issue, but...
It's probably solvable. Let me just...
But it depends.
Yeah, I'm going to Google...
Yeah, sure. It depends how big things should be.
Yeah, let me see. If I Google optimizing Python... Python, SQL. There's all sorts of things that, there's all sorts of stuff on Stack Overflow, which talks about optimizing Python scripts that execute SQL. That's interesting. So I'll send the spec out and you can decide if you want to work on this or not, but then you would get a healthy percentage of the company. And I do think I can get, at the very least, thousands of users. And then if it goes viral, which I expect it could, if we build in the right components, then it becomes a sellable business. So, you know, or at least generates ads and so on. Like you could think of ads would almost work like AdSense. So if somebody's making idea lists with cooking recipes, then, you know, food companies will advertise on that page. It would work just like AdSense.
Yep.
So it's a pretty straightforward business model. And the key is getting it to go viral. But again, a lot of the idea lists are like, I make idea lists for other people. And so I would always tag them to see my idea list.
Yeah.
And you know, you could even maybe get, and you have leaderboards, who brought on the most followers today. And you can even give other incentives too. Like maybe I could split the ads with people who generate the best idea lists and thus get the most advertising on their page. Hmm. So there was a financial incentive for people to join.
Yeah, that's true.
So
that would definitely make people want to join and write things, right?
Yeah.
Especially if there's a sort of incentive like this.
Yeah. So I've just been thinking about that lately and I got excited about it. I have my notes upstairs for it, but I'll spec it out and send to you. I think it could be very interesting. And I think it could be actually a pretty good path towards making $1 million because you don't even have to sell for that much to make $1 million. And, you know, or maybe much more if it really goes viral. So, anyway, I throw that out there. I'll spec it up and send it to you. But I still am excited about all the other AI stuff that you're doing in this Instagram stuff. Let me ask you a few questions. Like, what else is going on in your life right now? Like, you have a job at a bank.
Yeah, I have a job. Yeah.
And you're in London right now?
I am, yeah.
Do you work remotely at home?
Yeah. At the moment, I work completely remotely, yeah.
Do you think your job will not be remote eventually?
Yeah, I think I'll be going back.
And then, what else is going on? Like, do you have girlfriend, married, kids?
No, not at the moment. No. I have my freedom at the moment.
Yeah, that's
good. But... so I think what have I been doing? A combination of this. Oh, I took some of the time with lockdown to try and get in shape.
Oh, good. That's important.
So that, because my thinking was this, you know, I can either fight the lockdown and be upset that I have to stay inside and I cannot go out with friends or that, or the other approach is, you know, I made my peace with it and I knew that I wasn't going to go out and eat crap food. I wasn't going to go out and drink. So I had so much more control over, what I eat and drink that I would normally have. And so I tried to make the most of it and being very careful, working out a lot, eating well, and it's worked out pretty good. It's actually interesting to see how much control we have over our own body.
Yeah, it's really true. Like when the pandemic began, I realized I probably wouldn't be moving so much. So I sharply reduced my diet. I basically only, I started eating one meal a day because I knew I wouldn't be exercising that much. How did you stay social during the lockdowns? Like, how did you, did you avoid loneliness?
Oh, mainly talking with my friends. Yeah. On the phone, texting, Skype, like that. Yeah. Although at the same time, I'm quite, I don't have really a problem being on my own for like long times. I'm pretty okay with it. So,
you know, as a programmer myself, I mean, I used to be a programmer.
Yeah.
The more time by myself, the better. So.
Yeah. So it was especially, after when the first kind of lockdown started, to me, it was almost okay because it was so soon after I had finished like my PhD that for months on end, I was just in my room writing my thesis. So I was used to staying inside, doing nothing. Yeah. And just working. So it was almost no change.
I forget. What was the title of your PhD?
Oh, well, so my PhD was in atomic and laser physics. So I was actually studying a very exotic system of, atoms constrained to move in two dimensions.
I mean, can they realistically make a laser?
Well, the goal was not to make a laser. It was to kind of study the ground state of the system. It was a very particular type of system, but that actually, for example, could have some application in building memories for quantum computers.
Actually, that's an interesting thing. Explain what a quantum computer is for me, because the way I understand it doesn't seem to make sense. Basically, you use the fact that there's, in quantum mechanics, there could be a multiverse, and so it's computing in many universes at the same time in parallel. But that doesn't sound correct.
Oh my, that sounds a very weird way to phrase it.
Yes.
That's not the way I would phrase it. So I think a kind of intuitive kind of explanation would be this. The standard explanation is this, normal computers are based on bits. Bits are something that is 0, 1, right? And then all the computations are based on that. The idea with a quantum computer is that the kind of fundamental unit is a qubit, okay? So a qubit is could be built in many different ways. It could be a photon, it could be an atom, it could be many things. But the idea is that the states that it can be in are not constrained to being like a 0 or 1, okay? But it can be a 0, a 1, or also what is called a superposition of 0 and 1, which is saying it's partly 0, partly 1, okay? And because of that, you can build a bunch of, algorithms, for example, that are able to solve some problems faster than the current fastest algorithms for a classical computer.
You're familiar with P and NP type of problems?
Yeah.
So would you say quantum computers with qubits could solve NP style problems? For instance, factoring a 100-digit number?
I'm not sure, actually. Yeah, so, okay, that's the standard example. There's something called Shor's algorithm. Basically, is the quantum algorithm to factor numbers. And instead of scaling exponentially with the, let's say, size of the input, that's the kind of problem you'd have with a normal computer, it would scale in a polynomial way. So the idea is that if 100 digits would be impossible for a classical computer, it could be feasible with a quantum computer. And this has been, proved. The theory is there. The implementation is there, right? The problem is that if you want to, let's say, I don't know the number precisely, but you need to solve a problem that is actually hard for a classical computer, you need a quantum computer made with a lot of qubits. Okay, and the qubits are these kind of fundamental units.
And what's roughly the algorithm? Is it possible to describe the algorithm?
Oh, wow. Not in an intuitive way.
What would the language look like? Like, what would the if-then statements look like?
Well, it's kind of you can build all fundamental operations between bits using kind of gates. You know how even in classical computing, there's, you know, you'd have a and or stuff like that. And there's all equivalents for quantum operations. The thing is that they allow for operations that do not only affect 0 and 1, but also can affect the combination of 0 and 1. So that's sort of why there's a, what you said about the many things happening in many worlds. Like, I never really even heard of that. But there's the idea that because you can a qubit can be in 0 and 1 at the same time, it's as if you could do some computations at the same time on the 0 and at the same time on the 1. So suppose you were to do a computation and you have to try it for 0 and for 1, you have to do it twice, right? Because first you do it on the 0 and then you do it on the 1. Because it could, like, the bit could be in two different cases, right? It could be the 0, it could be the 1. So if you want to see all the possible outcomes, you'd have to do it twice, right? In some way, you could think that a quantum computer could do it for both at the same time, because the state could be half 0, half 1. So you could see what happens to both. This is a very kind of hand-wavy way to say this. I feel that when it comes to a lot of this kind of quantum mechanistic stuff, the proper way to formulate everything is highly mathematical, right? So whenever you try to make things a little bit more explainable, you're actually losing a lot on the actual value of things, on what you say. I think it's common in everything, right?
Could it do more than on the 0, 1? Could it do all the sort of states in between the 0 and 1? So it could potentially do a million states simultaneously?
Yeah, kind of. That's kind of the idea. That's kind of the idea. Yeah, and especially if you have like two bits, imagine 2 bits, this could be in 4 states, right? Because each normal bit could be 0, 1 and then 0, 1. So if you wanted to try in 4 combinations, you'd have to run a function 4 times to see all the outcomes.
If you have 20 qubits, then you could do like a million, you know,
two to the 20. Yeah, basically something you could do 2 to the 20. Mm-hmm. This is very, it's not a precise way to phrase things, but it kind of gives a gist of why some things could be faster.
Not knowing anything about it, I know this is very rough, but the code could be something like, if number, then see if it factors into this 100-digit number, or see if it's a factor of this 100-digit number. The number, the result, when you say if number, it returns, you know, many states instead of just 1 state. So I'm just trying to think how
code
works.
Even if at the end, you know, you'd also want to have one answer, right? Although that's also another problem with all these kind of quantum states, is that when a state is in two different states at the same time, 0 and 1, you know, in the end, when you do a measurement, it's going to be in either one of those. It cannot be in both.
Right, but so can it be controlled what state it ends up in? So only return the states that are prime factors.
Yeah, to some extent you can, but in other ways, the way things are computed is that let's say the experiment will be repeated many, many times, and then you check how many times you get 0, how many times you get 1, and then for that you can. From that, you basically can calculate what was the actual combination of 0 and 1 that you had.
Yeah, and you could use a regular computer to kind of check the final answers.
For some things, yeah. Yeah. For some things, you could, yeah. It's kind of the idea of the, you know, P and NP problems, right? You could, checking them is easy, but yeah, it's solving them that's hard.
Right, like once you have the prime factors of a 100-digit number, you just see if they multiply together to...
It's easy, yeah.
Oh, so it's interesting. Well, thank you for explaining that. Yes, it's totally true. Airbnb has changed my life. If anything, they have made my life so much better. Like, I used to live in Airbnbs. I lived in over 100 or 200 different Airbnbs over a 3-year period, and I loved it. I became a really good guest of Airbnbs, and I got to know lots of hosts. So when I initially owned a house, the first thing I thought was, I'm going to turn my house into an Airbnb because I travel a lot. So why leave my house unused when I can make a side income by letting others Airbnb my house or come to stay in my house as guests? And having my own Airbnb or being a host for Airbnb has allowed me to do just that. And I've met other hosts. I've actually spoken at Airbnb's host conference. I think it was in 2017. I met so many just nice hosts. It's a great community. And I love, you know, turning my own home into an Airbnb. Like, I'm traveling to Austin next month. My home's going to be an Airbnb while I'm away, and I'll stay in an Airbnb. I'd rather stay in like a 3-story house Airbnb than in one tiny hotel room in the middle of Austin during South by Southwest. So listen, while you're away, your home could be an Airbnb. Many people host on Airbnb, but there are people who are just letting their house sit empty, who've never thought about it or didn't realize their space could be an Airbnb. Hosting can easily fit into your lifestyle and is a great way to earn some extra money. So if you have a home, but you're not always at home, then you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host. I remember last year I was asked to go speak at the Norway Business Summit, and I was so excited because side by side with the Business Summit was the Norway Chess Summit, where I would get to see in person Magnus Carlsen, the best chess player ever, playing chess. But it was 4 plane rides, like, to get to the city that ultimately I would go to. So I really did not want to fly for 14 hours. And they were willing to pay for everything for me. So I at first class. So I didn't want to fly for 14 hours and not be first class. So I had to hurry up and get on the phone immediately to get those first class tickets to a chess tournament in Norway. And listen, this is just like when, you know, you have to know when you want the best of anything, you have to act quickly or someone else will get it instead. And I did not want those seats to fill up. So it's like if you're hiring for your business, you want to find the most talented people for your open roles before the competition scoops them up. I just was talking to a friend this morning where he was trying to decide between some programmers and he waited a little too long and both the programmers he was interviewing took other jobs, like great jobs. So, you know, what's the best way then to hire the best as quickly as possible? ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter finds qualified candidates fast. And right now you could try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/James. Just try it and see. You'll find out. So ZipRecruiter's powerful matching technology takes center stage to identify the top talent for your roles. Immediately after you post your job, ZipRecruiter's smart technology starts showing you qualified people for it. And I know this because one time I signed up as an employee, potential employee on ZipRecruiter, and I got nonstop. Really, I was, even though obviously I wasn't looking for a job, I love what I do, but I just wanted to see what would happen because they were a sponsor of my podcast. And the most interesting jobs would pop up in my emails like, hey, you're qualified for this or that. And so it's interesting to see. So just go there and try it. Try ZipRecruiter.com/James. Amp up your hiring performance. Now, this is more for if you're hiring, but amp up your hiring performance with ZipRecruiter and find the best fast. See why 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Just go to this exclusive web address right now to try ZipRecruiter for free. ZipRecruiter.com/James. Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/James. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. How much time per day do you have to really work on stuff? Like, you know, you work on a lot of projects like the Instagram commenter, the food reviews, the AI stuff.
Well, you know, it depends on the day, but maybe I can do maybe a few hours a day, maybe 2-3, depends on, you know, how things are at work, how much focused I am and like that. Yeah.
I like the Instagram idea a lot because it seems like a good surefire method to build followers for people. And that's something that everyone's interested in, but it sounds like it's really hard to, beat the bot finders. I mean, the only thing I'm thinking now is getting past like an Android, you know, running the software on a desktop, but having it interact with an Android simulator. So it can't track the cursor movements. It's just taps. And then it seems like it's much harder to detect.
Yeah.
So if that's a direction to go to experiment and it's easy, then I would do it. If it's hard, then I would probably not do it.
Yeah, that does seem a bit, let's say, harder. Yeah, I think that what I actually have been putting like a little bit of effort in was also kind of finalizing the sort of app that I have already, because I feel that's more kind of low-hanging fruit, which is something that can actually, you know, get done without many like external constraints.
Yeah, that's the one where it provides, it shows you all the notifications, it provides prompts, and you just hit a number or what, you know, whatever prompt it is, and then you do it. And I bet that would work. For someone like me, I always do really in-depth comments, so it wouldn't really work for me. Unless I'm using the AI component where it takes the prompt, but it's also been trained with all my books or whatever, and it writes a complicated comment and answer. That seems like a cool feature.
That's the thing, right? I think it's because in this case, the app that I, you know, thought of, the target was not, let's say, someone like you who really thinks through things and wants to, you know, let's say, make some sort of put in effort and add value, but more of the solving the problem. Oh, I know I need to interact with people. I don't really want to do it, but how can I make it as quick as possible?
Yeah.
Right. So I tried to do some market research. Well, no, that's, I tried to like contact a bunch of different people, food Instagram people, and asking them how much time they spend commenting. And so people that are really into it, they seem to be spending around an hour a day just commenting. Okay.
So essentially by a factor of 4, you can improve it. So in that hour, they can get 4 hours worth of work done using your system.
Easily. And also probably higher quality comments.
And how hard would it be to add an AI component?
I'm not sure. It depends if it had to be kind of integrated or if it were done outside of it. Building a database could be done. Like fairly well could be done because part of how I create it is like through a database. Doing it in real time from the iPhone, that seems much more complicated. Right, I don't even know if there's anything that does that.
Because potentially I could take the caption of the post and that's the writing prompt into the AI program.
Yep.
And so that's the real time version. But you can also take the prompt as just the tags. So.
But also I think this would be a problem, for example, in iPhones. I don't think it's possible to get, let's say, input from the screen directly.
Right, but right. I'm thinking if you do it on a desktop, but then use the Android simulator to post a comment, that might be a way around using the iPhone.
That is true. Although my idea for using the iPhone, so building the iPhone app is gives many more constraints than using an Android app, right? But the way I've gone with that is because most people would be using iPhones.
What if it's just desktop software? So like if I'm just commenting, I don't really need to use my phone. I can use the desktop.
Yeah, no, that's definitely true. However, that's also what I thought about a little bit. most people wouldn't be using their phone. Like, especially because in my mind, I've always had Instagram, right? Who uses their laptop to comment on Instagram, to use Instagram? Almost nobody would. Everyone uses iPhones.
Yeah, it's funny. I use my desktop, but I'm unique case.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. I think older people use desktop sometimes, but Instagram is limited on the desktop.
Yes.
And I mean, I really like the AI component of this. Also, what do you think of, have we talked about this before where, you know, I was thinking of the AI stuff and combining that with this NFT concept. So for instance, let's say you want to make a virtual Abraham Lincoln. So let's say I want to do this and I'll curate it, meaning I'll feed in Abraham, the speeches I think best represent Abraham Lincoln, the letters that he wrote that I think best represent him. And then I have a virtual Abraham Lincoln and I can call that an NFT and I could sell that essentially. So, or somebody else who's interested in Stoicism could do a virtual Marcus Aurelius and feed in meditations and anything else, you know, and maybe feed in, you know, other Stoic philosophers, but ultimately it's the voice of Marcus Aurelius and, you know, feed in the history of Rome. You know, I don't really know how it works in terms of how it determines the final voice it writes in, but, you know, it seems like that's an interesting way to help people create these virtual, you know, like let's say I wake up in the morning and I'm having problems with my girlfriend or whatever. I ask Marcus Aurelius or Abraham Lincoln for advice or Sigmund Freud for advice. And the AI is trained by the whoever created that Sigmund Freud is using all of Sigmund Freud's writings that he or she likes and then sells that Sigmund Freud to me as an NFT that I could ask for relationship advice, stuff like that. There's all sorts of weird uses that this could be. Or I could talk to Abraham Lincoln about the Civil War and, you know, for when I'm studying for a test or whatever. So it seems like that's, and the reason why it's an interesting thing to sell is because it's proprietary. The input that was fed the AI to learn to be Abraham Lincoln is proprietary to the creator. Like I know what I fed it so that it becomes the best possible Abraham Lincoln.
Yeah. As opposed to just being Abraham Lincoln as accurately as possible, it will be a curated version.
Yeah, it's the version I think is the most interesting. Or you know, and that gets like Abraham Lincoln's writings are pretty public, but it gets interesting when, you know, what if I was trying to do an NFT of, you know, Joe Biden or Lady Gaga, like more contemporary figures where they have a lot of writings, but I want to really know, you know, I want the environmental Joe Biden. So all his writings about the environment. Or I want a scientist, like, and so I want to feed in some kind of version of all their science that's easy to understand. So he's not talking gibberish that I won't understand. Mm-hmm. But like if I feed in Albert Einstein, I don't want every detail of all his papers to be fed in there, but kind of more simple explanations of what he's talking about. So he can talk in a simple way to describe the theory of relativity or whatever. So, and that's proprietary to the creator. So the creator knows what he's feeding in to make this a simple version of Albert Einstein.
Yeah, that makes sense.
You know, like you did with Shantaram, the book Shantaram, to create captions. That's fascinating. Like, I feel like I could have a conversation with Shantaram through, you know, through the book Shantaram, through your implementation, but I can talk to about any subject like food or whatever. Now, this would be a little more complicated because Shantaram is just one book. So with Albert Einstein, I'd have to feed in all sorts of materials. I'd have to figure out what's the best way. So I'd feed in Albert Einstein's letters, but I would also feed in books that explain in simple ways the theory of relativity. So as opposed to his original papers about the theory of relativity, which would be too complex for someone to understand. Yeah. And then someone could say the theory of relativity is, you know, as a prompt, and then the virtual Albert Einstein would answer in a simple way because of the way I've created it, like the proprietary way I've created it.
Yep. Yeah. That makes sense, yeah. So I'm thinking implementation-wise, I wonder, the current models that I'm using, I wonder if it would be able to kind of properly answer questions and do that kind of things, but it would be definitely worthwhile trying to train on.
We could start off though where don't do a question, formulate your question as a prompt. So like, instead of saying, yeah, what is the theory of relativity, say the theory of relativity is, and then have it fill it out, the rest.
Yep.
And so, you know, one way we could practice, which you showed me a sample of, you know, you fed in skip the line, and I love those responses that it came up with to different prompts.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what if I created something that's, you know, skip the line, choose yourself, and some other select writings of mine, and then people could buy the NFT of me. If why anybody would want to do that, I don't know. But then they could ask questions like about business or about, you know, ideas or self-help or whatever. I used to do these Twitter Q&As. I could feed in all the Q&As that I've done over, I did it over a 6-year period. And so then it even has a Q&A kind of format.
Yeah, I mean, I think that would be a good way to try things out.
Yeah, and then I could go, my email list is like a million people or whatever. I could then see if it sells to people on my email list.
Yeah.
You know, I could sell for like $5.
That makes a lot of sense. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that could be another thing we could try. Like, I always want to, you have these particular skills and interests. Like, you're interested in AI and you're interested also in faster ways to do digital things that many people are doing, like reviews or comments on Instagram or whatever. And the combination of these two is interesting. Yeah. And also you have an interest in kind of the GPT style of, you know, text AI and so on. So I think, for instance, the idealist social network is one idea. Making these virtual Abraham Lincolns or whatever is an idea, and selling them as NFTs. The Instagram one is still an idea, but I think it's so complicated. I see the low hanging fruit one. We could try out and see how that does. But I think, you know, it would have been great if it never got blocked as, you know, and just doing the whole thing by itself. That would be a home run.
Yeah. It. I was feeling very good about it because that ran like without problems for months.
Really?
And maybe 3 or 4 months. I was running it every single day for maybe 6 hours a day.
Wow. And you got up to...
And then I think a few, like maybe a month ago or something like that, I feel something, their like methods changed.
I think you're probably right though. It makes sense that I didn't know that about CAPTCHA, that it doesn't determine, you know, because a lot of times some of these CAPTCHAs are not a test at all. It's just like, am I a robot? No. But I guess it doesn't believe me. It just is watching how my cursor moves.
I think usually if they can tell from the cursor, you're not a human, you're a human, they won't even give you any test or anything. Or just the click, I'm not a robot, right? Yeah. And it's when they have some sort of doubt, then you would give the test. But that's...
Do they do CAPTCHAs on the phone at all? I can't remember seeing a CAPTCHA on a phone.
I've gotten it before, yeah.
Oh, I guess because of the training. Because you're training Tesla.
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's bought CAPTCHA might be by Google now. I think it was may have been acquired by Google. So I think that they just
I mean, they do it to train. Yeah. When I say, when you say, which image has a bicycle in it, it's teaching, you know, the automated cars.
Yeah.
So that could be the reason for the CAPTCHA, even not even looking for a robot. It's just having you do this training over and over. So, it does seem like the version where it's all automated, I think you could charge for. The version where it's the low-hanging fruit, where you give it prompts, I think that was more of an advertising model, because I can't see people seeing the value of it until they use it. So maybe there's a 1-month free trial, or there's an advertising model, something like that. But yeah, I agree with you. You probably should just finish that and post that and see what happens. But I'm excited if you want to work on this idea, network idea, or not. Like, I'll send you the spec and we could talk about it. And then think about this virtual person NFT type idea that we could sell virtual people. And, you know, there's plenty of NFT exchanges we could work through and see if there's a market for it. And that might be interesting also. What other ideas have you thought about with the AI stuff?
Oh, well, at the moment, mainly these, yeah. So one of the things I saw that was interesting, I think I said it in a mail at some point, was I saw a website created with GPT-3 that what it does, it does copywriting.
I think it was copy.ai, right?
Yep.
So let me see. I'm going to start my 7-day trial. I'm going to sign in with Google.
Yeah, because I know you mentioned it like many times in the podcast as kind of possible ways for people to make money learning how to do copywriting. Yeah. And this would seem, for example, a very easy, like at least a simple way to kind of get a lot of problems for, you know, without putting in effort. And even if you can charge, you know, very, very little for it, but you're doing it with no effort whatsoever.
So I'm going to pretend I'm doing copywriting about super brain drugs. Let's see. If you take this pill, your brain will be 10 times smarter for 24 hours. Okay. And now I'm going to create. Okay, it's loading. Our AI can take up to 30 seconds, it says. Maybe I didn't, I might not have. Okay. The miracle pill will make your brain 10 times smarter than it is now for one day. Take two pills and you'll become 50 times smarter, just like Stephen Hawking's computer. So let's see. The next one is the super brain pill will make you much smarter for 24 hours. It is a little blue pill that is easy to swallow and tastes great. There are no known side effects except somewhat increased intelligence. Your IQ will be around 200 during the 24-hour period that the pill is in your body. The pill will make you really smart for a day. Not only will you do better at your job, but you'll be funnier and cuddlier too. The drug works by stimulating your brain's pleasure center, so it's absolutely addictive. When media found out about this, they started calling it the super brain pill, but that's not fair to the drug. In fact, it doesn't even make you smarter. It just makes you crave being smarter more than anything else in the universe. So this is really interesting. Super brain pills are formulated from the highest quality organic ingredients. Each serving contains 12 different herbs and natural extracts designed to boost focus, cognition, memory, mental agility, and longevity. There's a revolutionary super herb formula that will provide your brain with all of the things it needs to be at its best naturally. This is great. That's copy.ai.
Yeah, that's very good, right?
Yeah. So I think something like this that has all sorts of uses, like relationship advice, or, you know, Abraham Lincoln's an expert on the Civil War, so you can ask any question about the Civil War, or, you know, all this stuff, or you could have Martin Luther King Jr. explain racism to you, and we could create these like human, virtual humans from the past. So I could have, you know, Marcus Aurelius on my podcast, and it's curated, so you don't know the secret sauce that makes it Marcus Aurelius, but you know, the creator could say there's hundreds of texts, including meditations by Marcus Aurelius, and you won't be able to tell the difference between this and talking to the real Marcus Aurelius. And it might be interesting to see if those sell. And I would start with making a virtual version of me and sending it out to my email list and seeing what happens. Or doing a podcast and then sell you that way.
The NFT component would make sense also if you got like, what if you got, you know, Ryan Holiday to make the Marcus Aurelius, right?
Yeah.
Then that would have a lot of clout because people would say, oh yeah, I want the Ryan Holiday version.
Right. And we could probably ask Ryan to do it. I could call Ryan and ask him. So that's interesting. And then, again, I will send you a spec of this idealist network. And then maybe next time, let's decide full force what to work on to actually make
Yep.
A million. And it could be more than one thing. In fact, it should be more than one thing. But, you know, whatever it is, we could then focus on making it and then marketing it and testing it and experimenting and our plan B, just in case it doesn't sell how we think it will. But so what additional skills are needed? So you're good at Python. You've used Python, SQL. You're familiar with the APIs into GPT-2 at least. You're familiar with scraping things off of mobile apps. I guess.
Yep.
Check to see if an Android simulator has an API that you can use from the desktop. I do think you could still automate your Instagram app idea, and I'll check that out a little as well. But I'm still holding out hope that that's an idea. So.
Yeah.
All right, and let's talk in a week. But I'll send you the spec probably tomorrow for the Idealist Network. I do think that could be a really good idea. At the very least, I think it could be fairly easy to implement, and a lot of people will use it. And then the key is we never know if it will go viral until it goes viral. That's the problem with social networks. But it's probably not that hard to make something a simple version of this and see. Anything else going on? Anything else you're working on or having fun with?
No, not really, I'd say. Not really. I think the focus has mainly been on all these kind of things and a little bit of the app. Do you have any idea how I could try and get access to the GPT-3 model?
Jay, you had access to GPT-3?
Yeah, like the issue is that I can't share my account because it's tied to my Gmail. So he would know my Gmail password.
Ah, I see.
Yeah.
How did you get an ID for that?
I just waited. I signed up like Paolo say, I signed up last year or maybe a little bit before. And then, you know, and then all of a sudden I just got an email. So the issue is one of the things that I think I get it earlier, maybe because I'm based in US. And GPT-3 is based in US as well. So I don't know if they're going to give that, you know, or I don't know.
So one of the things I had found, and I actually wrote it in like the last email I sent, was that I found that basically some Reddit post actually from what seems to be the CTO of OpenAI, where he was saying that if you had some sort of idea of how to use it and you emailed in directly, it may have been easier to, you know, to get ahead in the queue. I don't know. Do you think that would be worthwhile doing? But there would have to come up with some sort of kind of, just argument for how to properly use it.
You know, here's another idea. You should find a Reddit, you know, a subreddit that you like, and have the GPT-2 write posts for this subreddit. You know, like write, you know, and see how much Reddit karma you can gather as an interesting experiment.
Oh yeah, that's sure.
For instance, if there's a crypto subreddit, feed in everything you can about crypto, and see if it writes intelligent enough posts that it gets a good Reddit karma from writing about crypto. Because, you know, people like things like, you know, so it's not only good for Instagram followers, but you could get Reddit followers and Twitter followers and so on. So I wonder if we should broaden out how you're thinking about it. And because particularly testing on Reddit might not be so hard.
Yeah, Reddit would definitely be easier since it's all desktop based. And it's easier to get like scrape stuff.
Yeah. So okay, let's schedule something for next week. But I might be emailing you in the next day or so about the Idealist idea, and we can see if you want to work on that.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds good.
All right. Thanks a lot, Paul. And Jay, you can help schedule the next time.
That's why I'm here.
Excellent. All right. I will talk to you guys later.
Every single day on my Twitter account, follow me at @JayAltucher. I'm doing the adult improvement tip of the day. As an adult, I've become a chess master. professional stand-up comedian, a computer programmer, an investor, a hedge fund manager, an entrepreneur. In some cases, I've mastered some of these new fields. It's no good to just do something mindlessly over and over and over again and not get better. You get happier when you improve. New research shows that adults can improve just as easily as kids, or almost as easily. I've written books about adult improvement. I have new ideas that beat out the 10,000 hour rule. And I'm doing a whole thread every single day, one tip a day for the next 100 days, adult improvement tip of the day. Find me on Twitter at Jay Altucher.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.